Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are in studio this week with best-selling author of 14 books, Lori Beth Jones, and the book leading our discussion today is Jesus Entrepreneur. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Thank you for calling from your great state of Texas. How are things down in the 100-degree weather?
Well, Beth knows, even though we're 800 miles away from each other, but it's going to be 105 today in El Paso.
Wow.
Well, and I don't think we're going to quite make the 100 mark. I was thinking earlier, oh, it's kind of cool today.
Wow.
Oh.
Go ahead, Lori.
We like to broil our steaks here in Texas.
That's right.
and also joining our session today is Beth Taylor of Beth Taylor Coaching, gifted coach, talented trainer, awesome leader in her own right. Beth, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
We are glad you're here. So I'm excited and a little bit apprehensive about this first topic today, ladies, of accountability. we know we need that nudge in our lives, right? To hold us accountable to diets and goals and visions and plans and doing things that we say we're going to do. But this whole word, he was accountable. Wow, Lori Beth, that was an awesome chapter. Awesome chapter. What did you think about that, Beth, as you kind of jumped into it? We're going to give Lori Beth just a break here for a second and start with you. This whole he was accountable. As a leader, how was Jesus accountable to who and to what?
Well, he was, first of all, very clear that he was accountable to his Father. He said over and over again that he did nothing without the Father, that he was all about carrying out the mission that the Father had given him. And, Jesus is such a great example of not getting distracted from what we're really called to do here on this earth. And, in that, he was incredibly effective because he knew what his purpose was. He knew to whom his allegiance was. He knew why he was doing what he was doing. And that is the key to power. And Lori Beth draws that parallel that... responsibility that goes along with it.
Right. Lori, in this chapter, you really jump out quick with this quote. The one thing I see lacking today in so many lines of thinking is accountability. And then you go on to say, although Jesus came to give us power, for sure, he also intended that we be held accountable for it. Talk to us about this principle here in this chapter, the power and then being accountable for that power.
Well, we see it in the headlines in the newspapers, even today, that people are, when they're not held accountable or when they rise to power quickly and think that the rules don't apply to them, which, as we know, is a fire trait, it shoots them in the foot. They injure themselves because it comes, what goes around comes around. And I was reading in the Wall Street Journal just before the show that the former head of Countrywide Mortgage got penalized $22 million for his fuzzy accountability with some of the numbers in his organization. And as a wind and a wind fire, I don't like the word accountability. You know, I want to be my own boss. I want to be in charge. I don't want people telling me what to do. But I think if we realize as wind fires or as fires, the fires among us, that accountability harnesses the power so that we can burn more effectively rather than make someone our boss. If you look at the effectiveness of Christ, he was so powerful because he was accountable, just like what Beth said. So I think it's a new way to look at that, at this dynamic.
You know, Lori Beth, I am becoming more and more aware that people around me think, well, power is about someone else. You know, they have power. And I think that we all can stop and recognize that we each have been given a level of ability, a set of gifts, and actually tremendous influence in whatever, you know, smaller walk of life that we're holding. That's a twist on looking at the leaders of a corporation who aren't held accountable, or of a nation, and really looking in our own lives and in our own relationships. And there was one thing this week that really hit me. I just finished up helping Camp Grady Spruce, that I'm very involved with, raise over $260,000 to underwrite camperships. Scholarships for campers, and it was an effort. It was a long haul to do it, but what it took from each of us was looking at our area of influence and using our ability to speak, to say this matters, to ask the question, would you like to participate? Because with that ability came a responsibility to go ahead and ask the question so that we could indeed make a difference in these kids' lives.
Wow.
And, you know,
congratulations, Beth. That's a lot of money.
It is. Thank you.
Wow. Very cool. And I think, Lori, also a little bit later in this chapter, and I've heard you say this at different times, you know, as you, in your leading and speaking about this phrase, in his final prayer in John 17, Jesus said, these were your gifts, and you gave them to me, and I have not lost any of them. I think that points just as strongly to what Beth was just saying as anything is, there's another passage that says, in much or in little, you know, so if it's a large team or if it's a small team of people, if it's 12 disciples and two mothers and three sisters, you know, whatever that group is that you have been set with, whatever the skill sets are, whatever the tools are, whatever is involved, that's where the level of accountability happens. Is that what you guys are saying here, you know, as a leader?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just jumping in here. As I was preparing for my talk to the North Carolina Annual Conference of the Methodist Church last week, and I was looking at leaders who went big, who started big and then went small, and who started small and then went big. So starting small would be Joseph, you know, young Joseph, the favorite of his father, and then he eventually ruled all of Egypt. So he started small, went big. King David, the least of his brothers, he started small, ended up ruling all of Israel. And then I looked at Jesus. He started big, you know, ruling with his father in heaven, and then went small and was accountable to a very small number of people. And I think, you know, certainly in our country and Texas, speaking as a Texan, it's always bigger is better. So we got to get more people, more influence. But in the case of Christ, he went small in order to make an impact, and he was very accountable to that small group of people with his father. And so I think your point, Shelley, and Beth, this circles back around to what you said, your area of influence. You know, you look at your area of influence, and that's how God is holding you accountable. And I just have to say, God has been really teasing me a lot this week. I don't know if you all have this relationship with God or not, but he's been very playful with me. And as we're talking about accountability, that if you heard the beep on my phone, it was my agent calling me.
That's funny.
And I know. And then the other day, I was on my way to the dentist, and this song came on: "Chewy, chewy, do 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 do." So, God is in a very playful mood with me these days, but it also reminds me that he's always with me. You know, he's so hyper aware of what I'm doing. And I think that brings, for me, it brings a level of tenderness, but it also brings a level of accountability. It's like, whoa, you know, not God is watching you like that, but God's aware of what's going on. And there's an accountability.
How would you define the word for the listeners, the word accountability?
It means that someone's going to be accounting your abilities.
That was a special Texas version, I can just tell.
Beth inspires me. Oh,
Is that your final answer?
Maybe Beth should take a stab at it.
Wow. Okay, Beth. A definition of accountability, since Lori Beth is on a some kind of punchy mood over there.
Well, you know, truthfully, I think she really nailed it. That, you know, an accounting, a measurement, I think of it in terms of, you know, a measurement of ability and whether or not that, you know, that having these abilities, having these gifts, that we also use them, that we are, you know, we are given talents by the master, you know, that parable, and we really can just bury those talents and hope that no one notices and that there's no, you know, have no risk, or we can boldly share what God has given us with our world, you know, with the area with in which he has planted us. And so I went out into my backyard, into a corner of my backyard last week, and realized I had neglected my area of accountability there. It was so overrun with weeds. I don't know how that happened. But I realized I had not paid any attention to that area of my accountability and that area of my responsibility, because, you know, when I created that flower bed, I took on the responsibility to tend it, to care for it, to give it what it needs, water and weeding. Sometimes we raise our eyes to other areas. Perhaps sometimes those areas are things that we think might give us glory. If we move over there and show up in a big way there, and in the meantime, sometimes we're neglecting maybe our families or our things that we've purchased, and therefore we own them, but do they really own us, because we are accountable for caring for them. A little wake-up call on taking care of what I already have.
Well, that leads me to maybe one final question about this topic. And in kind of the middle of this chapter, Lori Beth, you talk about part of accountability is changing how we measure success. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much said in that one sentence. I know we don't have time to unpack that, but as leaders, you know, there are different standards, I guess, maybe, right? Depending on industry and vocation and, you know, careers, there's different standards within people's lives. But I think, Beth, what you just alluded to as well is the responsibility that we have for what we're measuring. Wow, that is, that was just a powerful image that I got. But any thoughts on that, Lori Beth? How we measure, part of accountability is how we measure success?
Well, I think that this leads to an elemental discussion too, because certainly there's the world's measurements. You know, CEOs are, have to measure the last quarter profits and return on investment, shareholder dollars, all of those things. Teachers have to are measured by student success and all those different things. But elementally, we value different units. Our values are different, so we're going to measure success differently. And the Fires are going to measure achievement, and they win or lose. You know, they feel successful based on the scoreboard, whereas the Water will feel successful based on how many people are being taken care of or are included. And the Earth will feel successful based on all the dots being dotted in the I's, dotted in T's crossed. And the Wind will feel successful if their life's an adventure and things are being stirred up. And
wow.
I had breakfast this morning with my dear friend from high school, and she was talking about one of her children, and she said, you know, she doesn't stick with things too long. She does something for 2 years, got into West Point for 2 years, and then goes on and on. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, if her daughter's a Wind, she's going to measure success not by what she finishes, but by what she tasted, you know. It's like,
right.
Yeah, 2 years at West Point, I was married for 3 years, now I'm going to go over here and build a yurt, you know. And so her theme, her life theme is adventure, let's say. So her success to an Earth parent is going to look like a failure, whereas to her, she might be leading a very successful life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for sharing, both of you, on this topic. We're going to jump over to this second topic for today. He submitted his plans, and you start this chapter with the Proverbs text. 16:9, you make your plans, but God directs your actions. Wow, what a powerful, powerful image of for a fire. To know that everything that we're doing is moving us forward, but might not be the right plan. So how do we submit that, Lori Beth? How do we submit our plans as a leader?
Well, I think that that's exactly right. We can make our plans and then lay them out before the Lord and say, I think you probably know better, God, but this is what I'm thinking. You know, I give it to you, that sense of surrender, but not abdication. There's a different attitude. Abdication means, well, God's just going to do it anyway, you know. The Lord will take care of me. I don't have to plan. That's the thing that doesn't work. But submitting your plans, it's like Beth with this tremendous capital campaign that you guys did. You had a plan, right?
Yes.
You had a strategy.
Absolutely.
And I do want to say in mercy to your garden that you were planting, you know, you're dealing with getting kids to a camp where they can really explore nature. So I think that was your garden.
For the time, yes.
You were doing a spiritual harvest and planting and plowing there. So your little, you know, your earthly garden suffered there for a while. But that's what I think. It's knowing that God is in control and yet still doing everything in our power to make something happen, the best that we know how.
Beth, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I have a confession to make about reading this chapter. I was through two full pages, still wondering when you were going to get to the point, Lori Beth, because usually in these short chapters you get right to the point. And I finally realized that defining the word is very important, as we just did with accountability, because I was waiting for, you know, I really was, in my mind, submitting my plans was about turning them in, you know, submitting them to God.
The deadline under the door is 4 p.m.
And, you know, and because I think that I decided that that is also important to, I tend to, not only do I not want to submit to his will, I want mine over his oftentimes, but I tend to, and perhaps tell me if this is a water tendency, I tend to hold my plans almost secret from others and from God, instead of going ahead and saying, first of all, here is the plan, this is the direction, and these are the pieces I'm going to choose to lay out, and I'm going to share this. I'm going to share this with others around me. I'm going to share this with God. I'm going to seek counsel around it. I am going to, first of all, have a plan, and then I'm going to submit it, and then I need to be ready to submit to His.
Right.
Wow, that's great.
Beautifully said.
Yeah. And you know what was interesting, Beth, as you were talking and I was listening to your cadence a little bit, I was listening to your cadence about it,
mm-hmm.
as it kind of flowed out of you, and that whole water perspective. But yet I know you as a fire water as well. So knowing that as a fire, and this is why the elements are so powerful in leadership, Lori, is, as you know, is the fire has the plan, right? But then the water wants to graciously and confidently and calmly and reflectively submit those plans and wait, you know, and wait for a period of time for the rubber stamp maybe to come back and say approved, right?
Yes.
You know, before we step forward with the plan. So it is just amazing elementally to hear somebody talk about it like that, and knowing the other person's element is very, very powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that was beautiful. You know, I have a confession. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to move on to talking about this, the translation that you chose out of Proverbs 16:9. The human heart may plan a course, but it is Yahweh who makes the steps secure. And I love that translation.
Mm.
Makes our steps secure. So, as I was, we seem to be in the spirit of confession here, and so I want to confess that the wind in me loves potential. And in my office studio, I have a rolled up about 10 sheets of butcher paper that someone had thrown into the recycled, you know, can, trash can or whatever. And I pulled it out and rescued it, and then I put some twine around it. And so it's laying on my desk like this, you know, they were clean sheets. So it's this beautiful rolled up, like, potential blueprint of something. But I don't want to unroll it. I like the potential of it. And as Shelley is aware, as anybody who has worked with me, I have hundreds of journals. But I don't write in them. For me, it's the potential of the plan that excites me. It's like, wow, this could really be something. But I'm going to keep the vine around it, you know. So it looks like I have a plan.
Okay, so let me just play on that for a second. One of your first questions at the end of this chapter is, do you feel that God has ever tricked you? If so, why, how, and when? And so basically what you just confessed was that you trick God? Is that what happened, Lori?
I don't think God is strict, but I like to think that people look at it and say, wow, she's got a lot of plans on her desk.
Yeah, that's great. Talk to us a little bit about what you meant by that, you know, where you said laughingly you share sometimes with friends that God uses bait to get us hooked and then drags us where we're supposed to be. Kind of this trickery place. Talk to us about that for a second.
Well, it's really a theme throughout Scripture, and I'm thinking of Joseph getting thrown in the well, you know, and ending up where in a totally different place. But I know in my life that I start off in a direction thinking that this is where I'm supposed to be, and then the next thing I know, whoa, it wasn't really a pier that I stepped onto. It was a boat, and it's taken me downstream. And even Paul in Acts, you know, got onto a boat, and he was sailing for Rome, and he ended up, I think, in Malta. And so we have to move confidently in the direction of our dreams and what we believe God wants for us. But sometimes what we think we want is not really what God, as it's just the tip of what God has for us. And I'm sure people, if listeners reflect on that, they'll notice that can happen. It's like that country song, God Bless the Broken Road That Brought Me to You.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those others who broke my heart, they were just northern stars. I think that's what I mean by that chapter.
Wow. So from a leader perspective, we've got about 5 minutes here. An Omega leader has this space for accountability and also submits plans. Could be their own plan, her or his own plan, but then somehow, as Beth, you indicated, maybe the water wants to hold on to that plan and doesn't really want to share it for fear that it might not be the right direction. But let's just say for case in point here that we need to submit this plan because maybe the wind needs to carry it further than what our elemental understanding would take it. Maybe the fire needs to put some passion in it. Maybe the earth needs to ground it a little bit. So if you were going to sum up these two sections today from a leadership perspective, Lori Beth, on accountability and submitting your plans, listeners, leaders, people that are managing people, what would you say about these two premises today?
That earth, you know, it's that earth portion of success, of drive, of mission. You've got to be thinking about what you're thinking about. You've got to recognize that someone is accounting your abilities and expecting a return, and that you need to submit a plan and also bring it into submission to God's will in order to be successful.
And what if a person is not of the background to submit a plan to God's will?
What do you mean, it's not of the background?
You know, maybe they're not a Christian. Maybe they don't believe in God. Maybe they just do their own thing and they don't submit anything to God. Well, what about that?
Well, I would suggest that, you know, success, there's always a higher power. There's always a higher authority. And even if you submit it to a council of friends or advisors or experts, you're going to go further down the road than if you just go hightailing it on your horse in a direction that looks good, because sometimes that could be a mirage.
Right. So these shows that we're moving from are looking at principles of the Omega leader, talking about how Omega leaders lead. Obviously, we're coming at it from a Christian perspective and using how Jesus led his team. So thank you both for sharing. Beth, thank you so much for your perspectives today. I always enjoy hearing and sharing with you about these concepts. I love what you're doing in leadership and coaching with the YMCA. down there in Dallas. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Lori Beth. Wish you both well over there in the Texas country.
Well, and thank you. And we've got exciting things coming up with the YMCA with our Path for Families camping program, right, Beth?
Absolutely.
So if you're
what a joy to get to talk with y'all both and, you know, and to be a part of all the exciting things that are happening.
Thank you so much, Beth, and thank you, Shelley, for your faithfulness, as always, in producing and delivering these shows.
You're so welcome, and we'll talk to everybody next week. Same time, same place. Have a good one.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Beth.
Bye.
Thank you, Shelley.